Open your Bibles tonight with me, if you would, to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs, of course, no stranger to this group of folks. I know well that Brother Bourne has spent much time in Proverbs. And yet, our desire is to just give you that Bible overview, that Bible survey, and bring some things to your mind and remembrance about the book of Proverbs. And regardless of who wrote any book in the Bible, regardless of whether we know the human author or not, in this case, we know that Solomon wrote the bulk of this book. But regardless of whether we know that or not, regardless of who it is, what we do know is that sovereign God moved upon men to write these books, and that he has also sovereignly preserved them so that we have them today. I've even taken criticism for emphasizing the book of Proverbs because of Solomon the author, and look at Solomon's life. There towards the end, it would appear that it was made a mess by his 1,000 wives, or 700 and 300, whichever was which, on the wives and the concubines. And the bottom line is, he was, by the Bible's estimation, a wise man, and he was, most importantly, used of God to write this book, or the bulk of this book. And it was probably compiled in the form that we have it today around the time of Hezekiah. Much of it, of course, written by Solomon, and then other men doing some of the writing, and then all compiled together and put in its format that we have today. Before we get into any thoughts really relating to the book of Proverbs, let's again ask the Lord to be with us as we have this time of Bible survey tonight. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have allowed us to be in this place, your house, tonight. We thank you that you've not only allowed us to be here, but I know that you have put into my heart a desire to be here, and I thank you for that. And I thank you, Lord, that you have led each one to be here tonight and given safety to get here. And thankful, Father, for each one that has participated in the service thus far, and really thankful for these young people that will begin to take an active role. And we pray, Lord, that you would continue to work in their midst and bless them for their efforts of serving you. We would ask it in Jesus' name, and amen. The book of Proverbs, in the Hebrew language, a proverb is a comparison, a contrast many times, but a comparison. In the English language, a proverb is, it's actually a compound Latin word that means instead of many words. And the thought that, in the English language, the thought that a proverb is trying to when you say the word proverb, a thought that they are trying to convey in that instead of many words is literally a simple summary of a complicated subject. A very concise summary of a very complicated subject. A line or two that sets in your mind a principle that will go with you, if you'll commit that principle to memory, that will go with you and guide you and govern you along your daily path. And so you take a subject as complicated as how to interrelate with mankind. And that subject is then further complicated by, are we talking about interrelating with coworkers? Are we talking about interrelating with our spouses? Are we talking about interrelating with our children, our siblings, our neighbors? The subject can be extremely complicated. Books and volumes upon books can be written about how to interrelate with mankind. And the more that you delve into that, the more complicated that subject can become. Proverbs 15:1 says, "A soft answer turns away wrath, and grievous words stir up anger." In that one little sentence, you have a principle that will govern every aspect of interpersonal relationships, every aspect of how to interact with anybody. And so the Proverbs, many of them being just that single line or a line contrasted with another line that gives an idea or a thought or a principle that then will govern and rule and help in every aspect of that subject. The Proverbs are set in Hebrew poetry with the parallelisms that we saw in the Psalms. Remember the parallelisms? There are four primary ones that we looked at. The progressive parallelism, that building or climactic building of step by step by step, progressive parallelism, synonymous parallelism, that complementary word that describes it in another way, that's a synonym that lets you know this is another way of saying this. And then we looked at the emblematic parallelism, that picture or illustration, a tree planted by the river, is an emblem or a picture that describes volumes of thought in our mind. And then the antithetical or the opposite parallelism, where you have this versus that. The Proverbs use that same Hebrew style of poetry, and those same four parallelisms are often used to make the point. As I said, Solomon is the primary author. Look at, hold your finger in the book of Proverbs and go with me backwards to 1 Kings briefly, chapter 4. 1 Kings chapter 4, and look at verse 32. Talking about King Solomon, verse 30 tells us this. Well, start at verse 29. "And God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding exceeding much, and largeness of heart, even as the sand that is on the seashore. And Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the children of the east country and all the wisdom of Egypt. For he was wiser than all men, than Ethan and Ezrahite and Haman and Chechol and Darda and the sons of Mahol. And his fame was in all nations round about. And he spake 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. So we know that what we have, just a portion of the Proverbs that Solomon spoke. Certainly not 3,000 in this book, but this is as I say, it was compiled probably in the time of Hezekiah, and these primarily came from Solomon, of which there would have been many, many more. The usefulness of this book, the value of the book of Proverbs, will be directly proportionate to our knowledge of the book of Proverbs. and even more specifically, directly proportionate to our memorizing the Proverbs. And that's the great thing about a proverb. Since that it is in the stead of many words, a proverb is a sentence or two that conveys a principle that is vast. And so we can learn a couple of verses, literally, and have a wealth of information at our hands, a wealth of useful value at our hands. We think of taking these principles with you. I think of Proverbs chapter 2 in the first six verses. And we'll get back to chapter 1 and look a little bit at the intro, but this is the intro to the intro. And so Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee. Now stop there and think about what he said. Not only is Solomon saying squarely to his son, looking at his son, eyeball to eyeball, and say, son, incline thyself to my words. Receive my words. Do what I'm telling you, or accept what I'm telling you, and hide my commandments with thee. Hide them with thee. I don't know any other interpretation of that than to say, memorize them. Keep them at the forefront of your mind. Take them with you regardless of where you are. Why? Verse 2. So that thou incline thine ear to wisdom and apply thy heart to understanding. The wealth of information that we can have available to us is not, it's valuable, but it's not useful in its value unless we know them, unless we have them with us. And that's not Jordan's iPhone where you can quickly go look it up and have it with you that way. It's not having a pocket Bible with you everywhere you go necessarily, though that's not a bad thing. It is having it in your mind and on your heart. And so you find yourself in a situation where I have to make a decision and I have a proverb that governs that, a principle that sets my course. And nothing works better than having it right there. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, and out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. So we understand in this text then that it is the Lord's wisdom, and it's the Lord that gives the wisdom. It's the Lord that makes the application valuable. But we have to have them with us. We have to know what the book says. We have to have these principles embedded. That way, when we are making our way through any given day, facing any certain set of circumstances, we have principles to guide us. We have an ability to make good decisions. We are very largely a product of our decisions. We, to a very great extent, one fellow said it this way, we are We are 10% what God has, if you will, pardon the phrase, done to us, and we are 90% what we've reacted, how we've reacted, how we've responded to that 10%. You say, this and this and this and this and this has happened. Yes. How did I respond to those things? Have I responded properly? Have I made good decisions? And listen, especially those of you that are here, and I always used to say 20 and under. I'm going to raise that to 21 for obvious reasons. 21 and under, you are making the decisions right now that you will live with probably for another 50 years. So twice as long, if not three times as long as you've been alive, you will live with the decisions up to this point. That is profound. And on a given day, think of the decisions we make. Just on any given day, how much better to have the ability that in the main, I'm making good decisions based on good biblical principles. And that so easily learned through the Proverbs. You learn a dozen Proverbs and it covers so much of what we deal with every day. Proverbs chapter 1 serves as an introduction to the book, and we begin to unfold what Solomon is trying to accomplish. Now, I've already read to you Proverbs chapter 2, where he exhorts his son to hide the word, hide the Proverbs in his heart. Hide the truth of God in your heart. Keep it with you. And I've described and discussed a little bit about how that will help us make good decisions. Look at Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 17 and think about this with me. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 17. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird. And at first you might sit there and you go, huh? What? Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird. People up here in this area do a lot of hunting. And it's no accident that they wear camouflage clothing. They don't want to be seen by the animals that they're hunting. Now I'm trying to catch something. Oh, and in this Proverb 1:17, a bird. I'm trying to catch a bird. So I'm going to make a fluorescent, huge net with all sorts of flashing lights, and I'm going to make it loud as far as we'll even wire up sound, since we're in the MP3 age, and we'll wire up sound and we'll make screaming sound coming from around where this net is, and the birds just fly around it. They see it and they avoid it. Somebody down there is goofy, and we need to stay as far away from that, whatever that thing is, as we can. And they, surely in vain, the net is spread in the sight of any bird. He sees it and says, oh, that's a net. I'm going around it. A proverb opens our eyes to the nets, to the pitfalls, to those things that will trip us up, to those things that will lead us off the path. And when the proverb opens our eyes to it, we say, oh, that's a net. That's a pitfall. That's a ditch. That's the wrong path. I'm staying away from it. That's the useful value of the Proverbs. Look at chapter 3 where he says this. Chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof of fine gold. You have a useful value, the merchandise of it, the useful value of it. And he said that wisdom, verse 13, and understanding is more valuable. It has a greater merchandise. It has a greater useful value than fine gold. Because with this principle that I learn, I say, oh, that's a net. That's a problem. I'm going around. There again, the responsibility upon us to hide them with us. There's a direct proportion to the success of our being able to live the Proverbs. That direct proportion tied directly to how much of them I know in my heart. How many of the principles I have, and without even having to think about it, without even having to Google it, without even having to take a concordance and look for it, I know the Proverb. And I see, because of knowing the Proverb, the net, the pitfall. And it's used of God to direct me around it. Now, a few examples. Proverbs chapter 5. I only picked up here 5 examples. Well, 6 if you count Proverbs 15:1, a soft answer turns away wrath. Just a few principles. If you're taking notes, you'll notice the broadness that these 5 or 6 principles will cover. Proverbs 5:15. Drink waters out of thine own cistern, and running waters out of thine own well. Now, if you go on and read after that verse, you'll realize that the psalmist is talking about marital fidelity. Drink waters out of thine own cistern. He's talking about marital fidelity. You remember that one sentence there in verse 15. And it can govern you and remind you that no matter what situation you're in, as it relates to someone of the opposite sex, and I'm assuming that the person at this point in time is married, this will govern. This will govern the situations I allow myself to get into. This will govern the situations that I open the door to. It'll remind me, marital fidelity. Drink of the cisterns. Drink out of thine own cisterns, and running waters out of thine own well. Proverbs 6, 1 and 2, verses 1 and 2. Another principle here, not in the arena of marriage, but in the arena of finances. My son, if thou be a surety for thy friend, if thou hast stricken thy hand with a stranger, okay, you've shaken on a deal, you've shook your hand with someone else, and it is a deal, it's a binding contract. Thou art snared with the words of thy mouth, and thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. Now he'll go on and describe what to do if you've done that. But the proverb is, listen, if you're surety or a cosigner for a friend, or if you've stricken thy hand with a stranger, you've entered into a business agreement or some kind of monetary exchange for goods or something, whatever. You've shook your hand, their hand on it, that's a deal. You're bound by your words. So then a principle comes into play and says, let me think through this. Let me really think if I want to be snared with the words of my mouth. let me ponder through this before I get myself financially wound up in something that maybe I don't want to get wound up in. And so there's a principle to cover our finances. Of course, there's another proverb that the borrower is servant to the lender. Jordan had never heard this, I don't think. He said the other day, and I said, I owe to, so off to work I go. The borrower is servant to the lender. There's a principle found in the Proverbs. I didn't write it down, but it reminds us, I sign on the dotted line for that new car. The payments are coming. And I'm servant to the lender. A proverb that will guide our finances. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 6, we have our work ethic. Go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. And so that's just the catchphrase. We go on and we describe a little more of how the ant operates. And it gives us that mental picture of the diligence of it. Who has never sat and watched ants carry potato chips 10 times their size and try to figure out how to get it in that little hole? Who's never sat and watched that? We know that you see some effort and some diligence and so on. A proverb set to our mind that will govern our work ethic. And just a little sentence that jogs our memory. Proverbs chapter 13. And verse 20, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Doesn't matter who I hang out with. Oh yeah? Solomon said that it did. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise. But a companion of fools shall be destroyed. So here we have not a financial proverb or a marital proverb or an interpersonal relationship proverb with your spouse, but you have here our associations. Who should I associate with? Who should I be careful in my association? Little proverbs, little one-sentence truths that govern a whole arena of our activities. Proverbs 26:20. Our speech, where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So, where there is no tale-bearer, the strife ceaseth. So now we have our speech. Do I really want to tell this? Do I really want to add wood to the fire? Do I really want to enter into this conversation? And so now you take a piece of paper and you write down those five, or if you take Proverbs 15, 6, little proverbs that we've looked at. And look at the broad scope of what it covers in just five proverbs or six proverbs. Our marital fidelity, our business relationships, our work ethic, our associations, and our speech. And just those five. Think of the governing power of those proverbs, as long as we're not only submitted to them, but we know them. And we find ourselves in a situation, and the proverb comes to our mind and says, you know what? I don't think I'm going to do that. It would be prudent for me to not do this. Or it would be prudent for me to do this. And so that's the useful value of proverbs. And the huge benefit in memorizing and pick a handful to start with and commit them to memory. Read through the book of Proverbs and try to get a broad spectrum of life proverbs, which they all are, but I mean, say I want to cover this area and this area and this area and this area. Then memorize a half a dozen of them or 10 of them. It's amazing when those principles are implemented. How much trouble it'll save. It'll be spreading the net in the sight of the bird. And I'm the bird, and I see the net, and I say, oh, there's a trap, I'm going around it. I'm going to miss that one. Thank you, Lord, for revealing that trap, revealing that net. Real quickly, a suggested outline of Proverbs. Everybody you read has a different outline. But here's a suggested and very simple outline of the book of Proverbs. Chapter 1, verses 1 through 7 is introduction. And from that point on to the end of chapter 9 is wisdom's call. Look at chapter 1 with me, verse 20. Wisdom's call. Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates. In the city she uttereth her words, saying, how long will ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? The scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you, and will make known my words unto you. But because I have called, remember wisdom's call, because I have called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. The first 9 chapters, basically, are wisdom's call. Wisdom cries out, don't go that way! Wisdom cries out, go this way! And wisdom cries out and says, how long? How long will you simple one? You know that doesn't work. Why do you keep doing it? Go this way. Wisdom cries out in the first 9 chapters. Chapter 10 through 15, wisdom's contrasts. Look with me at chapter 10, verse 1 and 2. Wisdom's contrasts. The Proverbs of Solomon. A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. Treasures of wickedness profit nothing, but righteousness delivereth from death. Here's a contrast. That antithetical parallelism, that is a contrast of truth. Treasures of wickedness profit nothing. In an abundance of treasure, you cannot gain not one breath of life. And you certainly cannot add one thing to your eternal existence, though you have a gold mine in your backyard. But righteousness delivereth from death. That which you cannot even develop on your own has to be imputed to you by Christ. That righteousness delivereth from death. So, the contrasting truth. Wisdom's contrasts. Chapter 10 through 15. Chapter 16 through chapter 31. Wisdom's Counsels, chapter 16, verses 1 through 3. Here's some counsel. The preparations of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Here's the counsel. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. So the latter part of the book, in the main, wisdom's counsels. Counsels for all. That's a very simple, the simplest outline that I found and liked that covers the three basic sections of the book of Proverbs. If you take anything away from this tonight, I pray that what you'll take is the value of the proverb stored in your heart that will govern your life and keep you out of the pitfalls and the snares that Satan would love to throw in your path. Go back to chapter 1 with me. We'll read 7 verses and we'll close. The first 7 verses of chapter 1, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice and judgment and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. And he goes on and says, my son, hear instruction, and begins to launch into the Proverbs. I pray that God will whet our appetites and really give us a hunger for his word and a hunger to govern our lives after his word. And Proverbs is certainly one of the simplest ways to start because of the profound little statements all rolled up into a sentence. And grab a dozen of those and you govern your life in many, many ways. So hopefully that'll be helpful. And hopefully it'll spark your desire to read and memorize some of the Word of God tonight. Let's pray.